This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, good afternoon to everyone on the Unplugged and In Charge show on Cliff Central. This is your boy, Sibo Kuzi. Welcome again to another edition of the show. And I can promise you that today, it's going to be another jam-packed show that you don't want to leave your... Either you're tuned in to Cliff Central via the desktop and www.cliffcentral.com, or you tune in via your phone and you've downloaded the Cliff Central app onto your phone. Thank you so much for going to that length, and welcome to everyone that I'm aware that you tuned in, to everybody that is supportive of the Unplugged and In Charge show and supportive of tuning in to Cliff Central. Thank you so much. And again, as I'm saying, it's Sibo Kuzi. You can tune in and actually keep up with us. If you want to interact with us, we have a WhatsApp line at 079-748-2090. It's 079-748-2090 if you want to actually be part of the show and ask any questions, because today's show is all about finances, inspiration. It's a whole lot of things in that are together. I have a fantastic guest on the show by the name of Ann Wilson. She's going to be coming through. You're going to hear what it is that she has for you today, but I'm excited. Hey, I haven't been on air for a while. I'm very excited to be back. And again, it was a good break. I had a couple of things that were going on, and I'm very excited to say that things are just going in the right direction. We always talk about inspiration and making sure that you stay pushing, you stay motivated, and you stay doing what you need to do in order to achieve those goals. But it is important at the same time that as we progress and we go along, we try to pick up a couple of lessons, we learn, we're always open to be taught, because we do not know everything. Even to those that we perceive and think that have made it, they're still learning from other people that are actually above them, or actually colleagues that are in the same level, whatever the case might be. But this show is all about inspiration, trying to gear up. We're going towards the end of the week, and we are sure going to give you some material and things for you to get you inspired, because we're all about inspiration. But yeah, I must say that I'm very excited again with all the buzz in the country with the celebration of Nelson Mandela. It's 100 years this year, and I think it's really, really great. There's been a positive, there's been negative comments about it. I do not know where the negative comments are coming from, because we can only be thankful for everything that the man has done. And at least, even if there were mistakes, we cannot really focus on the bad, but focus on the positive. And then really, there is so much to be thankful for. And as a young person in the country of South Africa, I'm really, really thankful to be part of the generation that actually experiences some of the first fruits of the country, having come from a very rough history in the country. And I think the whole celebration of Mandela, it is really to remind us and to really go back, because I always say that in order to understand the future, we need to understand the past and what happened before. And I think it's important, his celebration of 100 years, it reminds us of what it is that we actually need to be thankful for, because sometimes we can take things for granted, especially for the young ones that are growing up in our day and age. It's important to remind them to say, hey, there's a man that actually fought for us, even though he did work with some other people, but we're thankful for to God that, you know, he fought for freedom, and we have the things that we have today. We have opportunities. I had the privilege of actually traveling to Mozambique and just to spend some time there, and I was really, really shocked to see that some of the basic opportunities that we have in the country, in South Africa, those people don't have anything. I mean, as simple as having grant money for the kids. The government does not... Look, I'm not trying to bash down the government from Mozambique, but some of the stories and the things that you come across when you visit other African countries, you will realize that we are so, so privileged. And I came back from that trip, my mind was transformed. Some things that I took for granted, I really started being so thankful for them, and to really just embrace whatever opportunity and platform that I'm in. And I thought that I should just share this, because it really sparked some really deep thoughts to introspect myself and say, hey, are you really thankful that you are in South Africa and you have the opportunities that you have? And the nice thing that I went to the trip just before we celebrate Mandela's 100th birthday. And you know, when I actually reflect, and when I was going through the towns and I was talking to the people, and the funny thing is there, where I was, you will hardly find someone that lives in the streets and they're asking for money. And the majority, if not 80% of the people that came to me, they were selling me something. They were trying to convince me to buy their product. We always talk about entrepreneurship, but entrepreneurship, it starts with some of the most basic things that we overlook. And those people are actually selling. They are salespeople for their own benefit. But the sad part is, it is so bad that the people right there, You know, they're not selling stuff so that they can buy themselves some nice fancy clothes. They can be able to afford the luxury of doing things that they like, or they're taking themselves on holiday. Look, their unemployment rate is so drastic. It's really, really, really disappointing. And it's sad to see that the majority of people, they are just working just to survive. It's nothing that's of luxury where you can, you know, afford to buy yourself things. I mean, you see parents with their kids selling in the streets. I mean, look, man, we always hear about these things, but I can tell you when you have it firsthand, it's another situation. And I was really, really touched. And I'm back here in South Africa to be one of those people that whoever that I speak to, whatever platform that I have, actually share some of the stories and the things that I come across. But hey, it was a worthwhile experience. It was a way. And at the same time, as much as we can focus on the bad things, Africa is beautiful. And it shows that Africa is the continent. Africa is the one. We always hear it on TV. We hear it on radio. We hear some of our big statesmen, leaders talking about it. People in the finance field, people who understand wealth, people understand economics at large in terms of worldwide. And when I speak about economics, we still speak about entrepreneurship. And Wilson will be explaining some of the things there, and we'll tell you some of the secrets that you need to know at home, and some of the things that you need to keep within your pocket to make sure that you run your finances and you drift the right direction. You don't find yourself in debt, because debt is something else that a lot of people go through, and it's something that we really, really do not want to go through. But yeah, I think I'm gonna quickly tell you about something quickly that you need to know back home, and that is, what if you were told you were going to live to 200 years old? As Salem turns 100, they are looking ahead to the future. The 200-year-old is a future-facing podcast based on leading science. Featuring the voices of Nambita Mpulwana and Thapelo Mokoena, it's the story of Lesedi Ndaba, told in the year 2218. It's a podcast that pulls back the curtain to the world of the future. Visit the 200yearold.co.za to listen or find out more on cliffcentral.com. I hope you heard that correctly. And again, it's something that is exciting that back at home you can actually look forward to. But yeah, on the show, I'm going to introduce to you guys Miss Anne Wilson. She's going to be joining us on the show. Welcome on the Unplugged and In Charge show.
Thank you for making the space for us to, yeah, get real about it.
Look, I'm really excited, and I actually want to learn a thing or two from you. I'm not only hosting the show, but also
yes,
I'm looking out to hear some things that I can also pick, you know, to, in order to add into my value.
Oh, and you know, and you were speaking about just celebrating Madiba's 100th birthday, the centenary of his extraordinary life. And, you know, there's a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm always going to get wrong, but, you know, really addressing poverty and dealing with these socioeconomic challenges around finance and personal finance and money and liberation isn't an act of charity. It actually is an act of justice, because there's an aspect of just people being able to get to grips with the money stuff, how to get it in their life, how to manage it, how to grow it, is about personal dignity. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's, you know, there's different levels of it. It's also about, you know, we can talk about wealth and freedom, but there's this whole aspect which is just, it's a vital element of us just existing. Mm-hmm. And you know, Madiba was, you know, so supportive of that, and that also education around it was so key. Yeah. And so that's why I'm so glad to be able to be here to be part of that fight for justice.
Jeez, I'm really honored to have you on the show. But yeah, let's before we actually proceed, just let us know where's Annie Wilson from. Where do your humble beginnings come from?
Well, you know, I know my accent doesn't sound like it, but I'm actually a Zulu chick.
Wow, really?
I might not look it. But, you know, my accent's all over the place, but I grew up in KZN.
Wow, okay.
And just I was number 5 of 6 kids in this big family. And one of those families where, you know, dad worked hard to earn money to try and keep everybody survive and get educated. Mum worked hard to just keep us alive and not kill each other. And it was, you know, we never really spoke about money. It was all just about, you know, work hard, study hard, get a good job.
Yeah.
And then my dad died relatively young, leaving my mum with these 6 kids. Mm-hmm. And really no clue what to do with, you know, when you're managing the money day to day was one thing, but how did she ensure she was going to be okay financially for the whole journey of life. And I got to watch and really understand that deep anxiety that came with money. And I vowed that I never wanted that to be me. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I knew was study hard, work hard, you know, get a good job. So, you know, just a real quickie. I went and did an engineering degree. I thought that's going to make me feel safe around money.
Sure.
Which, you know, the get a good job, which most of us are taught. And this is part of the big challenge. We most of what we're taught about money doesn't actually create wealth for us.
Okay.
Teaches us how to earn it, but not create wealth. And they're very different stories and completely different paths. And so I got my first job, and together with it, I got the credit card and the car loan and the student loan. And I went into that dreadful debt that you speak about.
Yes.
And realized that this very anxiety I was hoping to avoid around money stuff was there. I was now in this big debt hole, and that then, you know, managed to climb out of that. And mm-hmm. it was just off. And then I thought, well, if I just save a whole lot of money and I do spend as little as I can, and I hopefully if I can suppress needs that I have, then maybe I'll be okay.
Yes.
So I'd swung from this one extreme to another. And by that stage, I'd, you know, picked up a bloke along the way. I'd got married. He was worse at the money stuff than me. And so I went even more into what we can't have, what we can't do, this whole contraction. And so that all just blew up in a messy money drama.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage and the money walked out the door.
Okay.
And there I was sitting in my early 30s, feeling decidedly unsuccessful at life, going, you know, everything I'd worked hard, I'd been working hard for over 10 years, had nothing to show for it, all of these things.
Sure.
And it was really at that point I thought, hang on, this can't just because I'm blonde and a bit stupid.
Yes.
You know, there must be something else that I've just was never taught, never got around. How can I have financial security? How can I have some financial well-being? How can I, you know, know that my future's going to be okay, but also have some fun now? Mm. And that's when I really stopped and said, hang on, maybe there's a whole area of money and wealth, and that I was never taught, not at school. And we're not taught this thing, Sibs, at all. And it really started a deep dive journey for me. And that was then one of the big realizations I had, was that earning and money, and actually money was not what I wanted. Now, that might sound weird, and I'm not being esoteric and woo-woo here.
Yeah.
I'm not being like, oh, because there's more to life.
Sure.
As long as I believed that if I could just earn more money, if I could just get more money, I'd be okay. Well, the problem was I could never then break out of the working for money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could never actually be free. And I started reading some books, and I realized that actually what I wanted were assets, investments. Because investments would earn me money. But if I kept focusing on believing that I wanted more money, I would never focus on getting assets.
Sure.
And this was a huge transformation in my life. And it just started an extraordinary hunt of realizing, oh my God, you know, now this is completely different focus.
Mm-hmm.
How do I learn how to invest? How do I get assets in my life that can grow in value and earn income for me? Because when I've got enough of those mm-hmm. that can earn me the income I need for my lifestyle,
yes.
then I'm free. And that is the journey I started. And I just became super hungry about learning about doing this, creating them. And I created my freedom in 8 years.
Wow.
I know, with just focus. And I feel deeply lucky that this happened, mm-hmm. but also that, and deeply grateful. You know, we speak about gratitude as one so important.
Yes.
But deeply privileged that somehow I found this world of assets and went into that and understood along the way that, you know, a whole lot of the stuff we're going to cover today.
Yes.
But, you know, that was 13 years ago that I created my freedom. So I'm talking about a journey that's been going almost for 20 years.
Yes.
And I've been financially free for 13 years. So that means I've, for 13 years, my assets earn me the income that I want. So I work by choice. I just have the most amazing freedom. Mm-hmm. And it was then in that I realized, wow, so many people struggle with this area, just like I'd struggled.
Now,
and that's when I decided to create the Wealth Chef and do what I now do.
That is so, so amazing. And, you know, the funny thing is you say that you, by the age of 30, you found yourself in a position whereby you just felt like a failure, that
yeah.
you have not really achieved anything.
No.
And, you know, you really have wasted, in a sense, your time.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful because A lot of times people by that age, again, it's a general norm where people say that, you know, you need to be at a stage whereby you've settled down, you have assets, you have things, and all of that. But you had to start from scratch. And where did you get that motivation to do that?
You know, the deepest motivation was I really dug down, you know, in this low point. I had remembered a story that I'd read that at the end of the day, as we're on our deathbed, all of our dreams and our goals and our hopes and all the things that we'd wanted to experience and travel and all those things sort of come around us and sort of come to us and say, you know, we thought you were going to bring us to life, that, you know, you had it, you had everything in you to do all this, but you were too afraid, or you made excuses. There were reasons, and now we're going to have to die with you. And it sounds quite brutal, but when I really realized, you know, I'd seen my dad die young, I realized at the end of the day, I think we're truly here to experience life, to be creative, to expand. And I just knew so much of my life, I was using the story about I didn't have the money, that I couldn't do it. Everything was what I couldn't do. And I just really saw a wasted life ahead of me. And that just felt extraordinarily painful. And it was in that place that I went, hang on, you know, I could sit here and feel sorry for myself, or I could accept mediocre, or I could just really make a commitment and a choice, because I truly realized that there was another world. There was another world that I just hadn't been shown.
Yes.
That I could find it. So I think it was that really being able to move forward and go, I could wallow around or I could numb myself, but actually at the end of it all, I don't want to regret this life.
Yes. All right.
And that was it.
Now, I heard you say something about the fact that there's a difference between working and trying to make money and creating wealth. What are the difference between the two things? Because there are people, I mean, what you're mentioning is something that is very critical, because you find that there's a lot of people that are actually in jobs. I know that we come from different backgrounds, we have different commitments, and you know, it's either someone did go to school, like you said, you want to study engineering. Okay. They got the qualification that they always wanted.
Yay.
And that's deemed to be the one. But you find that when they go into the working space environment, they're doing things that they really don't enjoy. Maybe their work is really putting in, you have to put so much effort. It's draining you. The hours are long. And everything just seems to just hold you back, especially from the joy that you thought you would have.
Yeah.
And now you find that there's others that quit their jobs and they choose to follow their dreams. Now, I would imagine that you're trying to create a contrast between the two things. What is the difference between those?
Well, you know, yes and no. I'm also saying, you know, I think it's a deep privilege to work. I think it's a deep privilege to have a job. I think it's an extraordinary privilege to be able to earn money for the value we bring into the world.
Yes.
And so I actually created my financial freedom whilst I had a full-time job. I still kept working, and because that was, I could exchange that. But if that's the only way I can bring money in, I can never be free. And so it was super important that I understood why I was working. One, absolutely for that expression, and you don't, and being able to bring money in and contribute to the world, but you don't want to be stuck in a job that you hate just because you're bringing money in. But if that's the only thing you do, you can never be free. And that's why I was saying, so one thing's really important to go, we can earn money and we need to earn money and bring that in. Initially, we are our first asset we have. That's what we have in exchange for money. But then we've got to be thinking, I've got to get these other things that can do the work instead of me. Because that's how we create freedom. And it's these assets that then earn the money for us. But the biggest challenge is we've been told from, you know, almost the moment we pop out the womb that we work for money. That the way we get money is we go and work for it. We exchange our time, our energy. And so that's where we can get fixated, that it's more income, more earning. If we just get the next contract or a better job or a better skill, then we'll be okay. And it creates a cycle of poverty, because we never actually break out of that prison of working for money. And so this is the key distinction of going, it's not that having a job's bad, but it's only assets that can create real wealth, which comes with it the freedom of choice. Because then when you've got assets or other things earning for you, then you can choose to leave that job you don't like, or that relationship that's oppressing you, or go and follow your dreams. And so this is that side. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff we could speak on that, but also even knowing what the hell we want.
Yes.
But when we have that base support of understanding how money works and how assets work, then we go, oh, wow, I do have choice. I have choice. And that, to me, is the essence.
Now, what I want to know, because we have... this is a show that has quite a lot of young people that tune into it, and they get the podcasts and they listen to them, and you find that there's a lot of young people that move from graduating from varsity and they go to the working environment, a work world, and you find that they go into debt because they're not really taught how to manage their funds. As you say, they are taught how to make the money, but not so much really in terms of managing the funds. And I heard you say to me that you were one of those that really went deep into the debt. And what advice would you have for a young person that's either, you know, in that space where they find themselves, they have this money that's coming in, it's exciting, you know, but now because of the excitement, they get overexcited and they start buying things.
Yeah.
And the next thing they see, they don't even realize that they've actually delved themselves into debt. What advice would you have for a young person back home?
Oh, Simonella, it's such a great question, because this is, I think, one of the greatest barriers to freedom. And, you know, we're celebrating Madiba in his time. We fought so hard for one kind of freedom, only to have slid into a different kind of prison. And a prison of debt. And I know it sounds quite harsh for me to say it, but actually we've got huge forces that want to have people in debt.
Yeah.
Because he or she that controls the debt has the power. And as we understand money better, we can learn down the line, we can actually use borrowing to accelerate our wealth.
Sure.
But we have to use it in a way that empowers us. Unfortunately, most people have used debt against them. Mm. And this is consumer debt. So as long as you are spending money that you don't have on something that you're going to consume, or it's going to just disappear or have no value, you know, today or tomorrow, you are effectively selling your future life force. And so you're in this kind of prison. You can't do anything. And absolutely. I mean, I ended up going deep into debt hole because, one, I thought that was just the way it was done. I think first thing, we're not taught any other way. It's as though that is just the way of the world. As 100%. Soon as, you know, I had a student loan because I put myself through studies, then, you know, got the credit card. And I thought that's what I needed to be successful, to fit in, almost to be worthy, you know, of life, of being, you know, of breath. Yeah. You know, you know, you had to have these things.
Yes.
And It took, I think I'm obviously a bit of an overachiever, because I think it took me less than 18 months from starting work to where literally I was working to pay debt. That was all I was doing, because the amount of debt I'd managed to get, which, you know, it can happen in a heartbeat, all those repayments were just chewing up all of my salary.
Mm.
And this is when I again realized that I couldn't continue this way. You can't, and you also can't dig yourself out of a debt hole with more debt.
Mm.
So the first thing is to realize that debt will never create freedom. It just isn't. It eats away at wealth. And so if we have to use it, to do it with extreme consciousness and understand the full cost. Secondly, know the cost of your borrowing. Understand your interest rates. And third key point is, please don't make decisions on the minimum monthly repayment. That is exactly how the marketing makes us think we can afford it.
Mm.
And so when we make the decision on the minimum monthly repayment, we stock us up and we go into what I call a money flow. You know, in the Whale Shift book and at the event, I'll be speaking about money flows. We get into this borrow more money flow. And because we make decisions on what's the minimum monthly repayment, and it's almost as though we've been told the name of the game is how fast can we get rid of the money in our life.
Yes.
You know, firstly, how quickly can we spend all the money we make, and then how quickly can we spend the money we can borrow?
Yes, yes.
And the more we make decisions on these minimum repayments, the worse it gets for us. You know, when you're paying on a minimum repayment, the thing that you've bought and you're paying off will take between 12 and 15 years to fully be paid off.
Wow.
And then you go, that thing that you bought on sale, really? You know, and some people might say, but Anne, you know, this is for things like a car or something. Absolutely. Sometimes we have to use that to just create access to opportunity. But do it with eyes wide open.
Yes.
Never buy a new car. Negotiate. Understand the costs. You know, get money savvy. So you do it with consciousness. Now, if you find yourself in a debt hole, it's really important to then, one, you've got to make the decision to get out of it and know that, as I say, you can't dig your way out. So you can't consolidate your debt or get another loan or something and hope that's going to work. So you've got to go a bit cold turkey. And you, the way you do that is you focus on the freedom that it's going to give you. So I was able to climb out of my debt hole in 18 months. And I went radical, you know, and actually, so it was 94. So it was at the time of our liberation in the country. It was amazing that I made this decision. Mm. So I'm talking, you know, so now I'm giving away my age. But hey, and I decided to go radical, you know, because I think if we truly value ourselves and we claim back and go, no, this is my life. Mm-hmm. Take it back from Edgar's, the bank, the car loan, whatever.
Yeah.
And to say, what am I prepared to do radical for a short period of time to live differently for a long period of time? Mm-hmm. But most people only focus on the short term, like, oh, my suffering now, instead of the long term suffering. So I really went, hang on, if I go radical, what can I do? And I was living in a little townhouse that I'd bought and I had a mortgage. So I decided, okay, I'll rent that out. And I went and lived in a back room of one of my sisters. I said, okay, I negotiated hard for like cheap rent. I got rid of my car. And back there, I was this little white chick with blonde hair getting taxis to work.
Yeah,
I went, because, and it was exciting and it was fun and it was liberating because I didn't feel that it was depriving myself. Mm. I knew that with every step that I took, I was getting my freedom back. And within 18 months, I was able to clear all of that consumer debt, not my mortgage because that's different, but that borrowing kind of credit card debt and store cards. And then I just had choice. The freedom was extraordinary. And I was able to go and travel and all sorts of things. And you know, and that started the next part of the journey. I wasn't there yet, but this was absolutely key. And I learned, so, you know, one, make a choice and decide that your life's worth more than those things and your freedom. Two, get radical, just cut out. And then of the debts that you do have, you need to get rid of them in a structured way. Mm-hmm. You can't do a bit here and a bit there. You find the debt that actually you're going to pay off the quickest. And that becomes your priority debt. So you keep paying all the minimum repayments on all the other debts, but that you will have one primary debt and everything else that you can throw at it, you do. You throw all the extra money at it, you sell stuff, you do extra work, whatever. Because why it's the one that you can pay off quickest, our unconscious loves success.
True.
You know, when you got one thing and you celebrate and you tell everybody about it and you know, make a bit like you have, you know, the biggest losers when people have the weight loss thing.
Yes.
You know, I would love us to be able to have it, for it to become sexy to get out of debt, where we celebrate, we post our status, you know, woohoo, you know, another, you know, brick down on that wall to our freedom, you know, gamify it for ourselves.
Sure.
And then you'll find you free.
Wow, man. You know, what I found very powerful about what you're saying is that, you know, you were willing to humble yourself. And it's not a common thing that you find amongst people once you've got yourself to a comfortable position.
Or we think it's a comfortable position.
Yeah, we think it's comfortable. And now you have to be uncomfortable, where you have to let go of things, especially things that are dear to your heart. I mean, letting go of a car is not easy. Sometimes you buy a car and you have so much attachment to it that doesn't matter what happens around you, you still want to keep the car, but you have to let go. And you have to let go, you have to let go. And that takes a lot of humbling of a person to be able to do such a thing.
You know, thank you. I hadn't thought of it in that way, but absolutely. But I think when we can humble ourselves to the things that we realize don't actually make us worthy, I think one of the biggest journeys that I've had to go on and that I help people with now and realize that nothing, there's nothing we can do or have or be or create or wear or drive that'll ever make us worthy. You know, we are already all intrinsically enough. You know, you are just amazing and stunning and enough.
Yes.
You know, so am I, so is everybody else. Yes. So when we can approach life from going, well, none of these things can complete me or make me anything more. So I have these things as just a fun expression of my already worthiness. I think that really helps to know that we're actually humbling ourselves to life rather than to stuff. And it's actually liberating rather than humbling. And I think that so helped because now, you know, a lot of people in the similar stage of me who maybe only focused on the sacrifice or what will people think or I have to give up are still working hard for money. And I've been free for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
do what I want.
Yeah. All right. That's really cool. I mean, I'm just going to share something with the listeners back home, and then we're going to get back and continue with your story. So basically, Lerato Shabalala is back with a brand new episode today. On this episode of Living It Up, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters, Lerato chats to Jackie Frost from Dream Furniture and Chantal Yonker from Yonker Interiors to talk about evolving children's spaces from nursery to spaces fit for toddlers and teenagers. Make sure to get new episodes every Thursday and explore interior design, making the best use of the space you have, how to make your room more intimate, decor for kids, and so much more. If you're a parent, you won't want to miss this week's show. Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Are your windows and doorways crying out for some much needed attention? Taylor Blinds and Shutters are the stylish solution to give them a breath of fresh air. Trusted, innovative, quality, and style. Taylor Blinds and Shutters. So that's something that for you back home, we can you can consider. It's always nice to also, you know, have some tips to see how you can actually decorate your home. But yeah, we're going to come back to you. I'm just going to remind you back home that the person that I'm sitting with, she's the best-selling author of The Wealth Chef. She's a trainer, a speaker, an entrepreneur, and a financial empowerment activist. She helps people how to master this vital life ingredient called money and uses it to create the life they truly want. She has been featured in the Sunday Times, the Sunday Express, Psychologies, Glamour, Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, and Huffington Post, among others, and is regularly interviewed on radio and TV. So you can, I'm sure back home, you can hear from the way that she's expressing herself and the passion behind what she's speaking about, that she's all about what she's talking about, and it's real things. And it's so amazing because I'm from KZN, and when you heard me say that, hey, you're coming from KZN. Where in KZN are you from?
So I grew up Pinetown, just outside of Durban, that area. That's where I grew up.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
But my accent's now weird because I then, in my engineering career, I lived all over the world. So I lived in Hong Kong and Australia and the US and France and London.
Yes.
So that's why I've got such a chamorro of an accent. But I'm a zilly chick at my base.
Yeah, because I mean, your English accent is quite, you know, European.
Yeah.
And, you know, from other countries. All right. And then in terms of that journey, because I'm sure this thing of you going to work in other countries, how many countries did you work at?
So I've had the privilege of living in 6 different countries on 5 continents.
Wow, okay.
And you know what was so great there? And, you know, and I choose to live here in Jersey. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? I can live anywhere, but I choose, because this is just, as you say, it's one of the most beautiful, extraordinary countries.
True.
And I think the opportunities we have are amazing. But, you know, living and working in different countries all the time, I was then learning how to invest, create assets, managing my money better. I realized this money is a universal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether I was in the US, in Australia, in France, in the UK. The principles of actually great money management, being great with money, learning how to manage it, learning how to invest it, learning how to give it leadership, applied everywhere.
Sure.
And this was also, it's so often we can go, oh, well, you know, I'm in South Africa, so I can't do X or Y, or I'm in this. And that is just stories. It really is, because all of the opportunities to invest, whether it's in the stock market, in property, create businesses, you know, the internet now has created, and never before, you know, opportunities. I mean, look at Cliff Central. I mean, how cool that, I mean, we're reaching people all over the world.
True, 100%.
And, you know, I think it's about us. We have to first shift the way we think. And unfortunately, I think the biggest challenge we have is our education system does not people to think in an expansive way of how can I create value. There's this thing of how can I get a job that's going to rescue me.
True.
No, and that is, I think, one of the such a limiting thing.
Now, what I want to know from you, because you're touching quite a critical point, which is education. And I myself have my own reservations, because it's always important to self-criticize yourself. And, you know, when I look at the education system, I it's great. It's brilliant. It gives people a head start in terms of having access to see how one can actually take themselves forward to staying relevant and conquering some of the challenges of life. But I find that, you know, I'm sure you are able to see, compare and contrast as you move from country to country and relating it into South Africa and Africa at large. What is it that maybe things that other young people don't really know or don't pay attention to that is so vital and important for them to make sure that they don't fall into debt and they stay striving.
Yes.
You know, for excellence. And I'm talking about things that, you know, you can mention bringing back home that is so vital for us as young people to know. Oh. What is it that you can share?
I think the most important first lesson is we have to be lifetime learners. Mm. And I think we can be fed a story with our education. You know, maybe you finish school, go and do something after, get some sort of college degree or some certificate program. Sure. And we think we finished. Mm-hmm. We think that now gives us the key to our life being sorted,
yeah,
to a job that's going to protect us and look after us. And I think that's the most insidious lie that can be fed by education. Any kind of education is about expanding us, but it's just a door opener. We've got to keep taking responsibility to expanding ourselves in every area. You know, learning about money, learning about investing is just one area. But how do we keep being relevant? How do we keep staying? Because at the end of the day, our relationship and our ability to get what we want,
sure,
and whether it's stuff, whether it's experiences, whether it's security, whether to add value, is about a value exchange. And we can only do that if we keep going, what is out there in the world to explore? What value can we bring to it? And an education can just give us some mechanisms to it. And I'm deeply grateful for the education I have. I'm deeply grateful that I was able to get, you know, a label around that let me get a certain job.
Sure.
But I'm also deeply grateful that I realized relatively early, mm-hmm, that was just one tiny element to my life. So I think if we believe it, the lie that a job is going to save us, is it? And I just see so many people now in South Africa desperate to get that one certificate, that believing if they can just get that job, mm-hmm, then everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
But it's just one aspect. And that's to say, I think it's a privilege to be able to work.
100%.
You know, when so many people just wish they could work because, yes, of unemployment.
Yes.
So I'm never, ever in the wildest dreams ever going to run that down, because I think it's part of dignity.
True.
To be able to contribute.
Yes.
But I think we've got a system that also, a lot of the education system that teaches people just how to do certain tasks, mm-hmm, not how to think in terms of how can I add value. You know, and I spend quite a lot of time in the States because I speak all over the world now and run, you know, seminars and do all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, it's amazing. Is it's the South African chick, literally, you know, whether it's in the US, all over the place, yeah, and they don't mind this accent,
yeah,
at all. In fact, I think it's quite cool.
It is.
The key message is about, if we can approach not how can I get a job and now I just tick boxes, but, yeah, constantly saying, how can I add value?
Yeah.
How can I add value? That question makes sure that we stay relevant, because it just opens a different thing. And so then you're just going to be better at your job. You're going to be more creative rather than believing a job is just following a certain tick box. And a lot of our education system unfortunately does that, whereas some other societies are far more about how do we know that we're constantly growing, we're constantly learning, we're constantly expanding. It's our creativity that creates our wealth, you know, and well, our life, but it's also our creativity that creates our wealth. You know, we haven't even got into some of the asset class, but you know, there's many, many assets we can create that don't require money,
yes,
but they do require creativity. And it's about creating a solution. There's many property strategies you can do to, you know, make a fantastic money that isn't about you owning the asset, mm-hmm, but it's about thinking, how do I add value and to be expansive? Mm-hmm. So keep learning. So key lessons. You're a lifetime learner. I'll be learning until I slide sideways into the grave. You know, you said right at the beginning, we never stop learning.
100%.
And two, ask the question of how can I add value,
yeah,
in every area? And then you'll always, life will be on your side.
Awesome. Now, I want to delve deeper into the book, the wonderful,
cool,
book that you have here with me. I was so excited when you gave it to me. I didn't even see. I was like, wow, okay. And yeah, it's called The Wealth Chef. And I'm interested to know, I mean, what made you think of such a title?
So when I was thinking about my own journey and learning about money, I really realized I'd had this sort of relationship that money was a thing out there. It was a bit frightening. I'd also thought investing was scary. It was complicated. You know, it was a thing that old white men did. Yeah. You know, like the stock market thing. Yes. You needed a lot of money for it. And then as I started getting involved with it, I realized money is just an ingredient. It's just an element into life. And I thought, wow, if I approached money in the same way as, say, I approach cooking, I don't get terrified if I see a recipe. I just go, oh, shit, let me give it a go. You know, okay, I need an onion and a this and a that. And I thought, if I approach property investing or stock market in a similar way, how would that be? Rather than the scary, complicated. And you know what? If I get one dish wrong, I don't say, oh my God, I'm stupid. Wealth's not for me, or cooking's not for me, because I need to cook. I need to eat. So this is where I thought, well, if we approach money and stuff from that way. And so I went, cool. On that journey, I really realized there were just five core areas that also, if I just did them over and over, I would get better and better at them, and they created wealth. And so there were these five recipes that I realized that they are just like recipes, because actually creating wealth is pretty straightforward. It's just about following a series of actions and doing them over and over and over. It's more about consistency than any fancy strategy. It really is. It's just about consistently doing the right things.
Yes.
You know, and so this is why I came up with the concept of the Wealth Chef, was about money as an ingredient. How do you learn these things? You know, so these recipes are, first off, just you've got to manage your money. You've got to get intimate with it. Most people work so damn hard for it, and then as soon as it comes in their life, just want to get rid of it. It's as though, you know, imagine if you go out dating, you've spent all this time on Tinder, whatever, you found this ideal person, and then you just ignore them, or you tell them to go and date your mate.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most people do with money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like work so hard for it and then quickly get rid of it.
Yeah.
Whereas if we learn how to just manage it, how do we carve it up, give it, know where it's coming from, know where it's going. So that is the key thing, just day-to-day management, but also how do we carve it up? We've got to keep some of that money and convert it into assets. We have to. There is no way around it. Then the second thing is learning how to invest, learning how to create assets. So I call this, you've got to learn how to expand that dough, because saving and investing are two very different things.
Okay.
And again, we're not taught the difference.
100%.
You know, saving, so we've got to learn the practice of keeping some of it in our life, which is part of that first practice. But the second practice is then actually converting that money into investments 100%. So they can grow and create investments. So that's recipe number two. And literally, it can just be a regular thing you do over and over and over. Number three is getting rid of that consumer debt and putting your debt elimination just into a structured way. You know, the more we can automate all of these things, the better it is for us, because actually it's us humans and our emotions that mess it up for ourselves the whole time. Then number four is, how do we protect it all?
Sure.
You know, Subhanila, one of the big areas that I discovered, we have huge waste is an area of insurance. We also don't understand the role of wills, power of attorneys. And I realized that these were key. They're actually part of creating our wealthy life. You know, things like funeral plans, so many of these things are so bad for our wealth. They're great for the people that sell them to us, and they sell to us on fear.
Yeah.
So when we can actually learn and go, hang on, let me understand how these work. You know, what am I actually believing that I'm buying? Cool. How else could I have it? Could I have it in a cheaper way? Could I have it in a way that supports me?
True.
You know, it would be so better to go, oh, you know what? If I took that same money and I invested it into an index tracker, which is a low-cost stock market-based investment.
Yeah.
And I could also do it collectively with my family. You know, when one of us die, we'll have all the money we need for the funeral and the assets beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, it's little things like this. So really important understanding this protection piece. And then the third one is just that self-mastery, really knowing what we want. Because this is one of the toughest things, is actually to claim back, what do I want from my life? What do you want from your life? And then realizing, you know, heaps of the stuff that I've been spending my time, my energy on, my money on, is because either the magazines tell I should have it, or the parents tell I should, or society, but it's not my truth. And then, so this discernment is really key. And it's just those five elements. And they're practices, there's structures around how to do them. And so that's what's covered in the Wealth Chef, and really going into details of how do you invest in index trackers? How do you get stock market investment working for you? Mm-hmm. How to put your debt blitzing plan in place? Mm-hmm. What do you need in terms of insurances? What don't you need? Things like wills? How do you manage your money day to day? So it's really very much the book that I wish I had found when when I started that journey. There's inspiration, but you can't just have inspiration. You know, some books are like, woohoo, we'll manifest our money. Yay. You know, the positive thinking, which is really important. Yes. Visualize what we want. Mm-hmm. But it's a bit like a real tease. And then you're left like, now what? You know, there was like, there's no how to. Yeah. And then on the other hand, I would pick up some investment books and it was like, oh my God, you know, put you to sleep.
Yeah, some of them go into really deep theory and stuff that you really don't need to hear.
Exactly.
It's a bit too
much. And it makes no difference, but it's almost to just try and prove that this isn't for people like us. Mm. And so the Welsh is the both put together. The practical how-to steps together with that knowing what you want. And actually, you know, one of the most important things, so if there's only one thing you take away from that book, is knowing what your freedom number is.
Okay, freedom number.
So I don't know if you can I dive into what your freedom number is?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, good. So this is super important. You know, what is terrifying is less than 5% of the population, and this is around the world, this is in developed countries and in developing countries, actually ever achieve financial freedom. Meaning they have enough assets to earn them the money that they need to live the lifestyle they choose. Okay. Really important. So that's the definition that I'm talking about, financial freedom. So it's not some woohoo concept. So there's two reasons why I believe most people never do. The very first reason is it's a vague concept. Financial freedom is like this nice thought. It's something out there. Like, if I have all the money I want, it's a bit like if I win the lottery, I'll do these things. But there's no like real tangible.
I really agree with you. Yes.
So, like, for example, do you know what your freedom number is? Do you know what the value of the assets is that you need for you to never have to work again?
Jeez, that's powerful.
Do you know that number?
Not really.
Well, once you've just read the first section of that book or join me at, you know, next weekend on the 28th or 29th at Robert Kiyosaki, you will know. Mm-hmm. So what it is, it's super important we get to that detail. Mm-hmm. And we first start by going, well, what do I want? Mm-hmm. What lifestyle do I want? True. And I think that in a way can also be so high. So we start off with what I call our break-even number.
Sure.
And just say, okay, if I had my current income, Or whatever the cost of my current lifestyle is now, if I had all the money I need to cover this lifestyle earned by assets, how would that feel? And for most people go, well, that would be a good start, because then that's like, hey, it might not be your freedom, you know, the ultimate lifestyle,
true,
but it would still be pretty freeing.
Yeah.
And so you can start then, you know, it might be 10,000 a month, it might be 20,000, it might be 50,000, it doesn't matter what it is, but it is important we get specific.
Sure.
Because it's this lack of specificity means we can never put a plan together.
Yes.
So then you say, so let's say, for example, it's 100,000 rand a month to cover this lifestyle.
Sure.
You then go, okay, well, what's that a year? So we say, okay, well, if it's 100,000 a month, we times that by 12. So now we know what our annual income is needed. So now that tells you, I need assets that earn me that 100,000 rand a month or 10,000 rand. You know, there's no judge. We get to choose what that number is. Mm. But now you've like going, that's my target. So now in the book, I use an equation. It's a bit difficult on the radio. It doesn't really matter. But it's basically saying if you take your annual income and you divide it by 8%, by 0.08. And some of you might go, oh God, Anne's doing numbers. That's why I don't want to get it overcomplicated.
Yeah, yes.
When you do that formula, it will actually tell you the amount of assets you need. So if you need, I'm just trying to think of the formula ahead, but actually we can even look it up in the book in the next break. Mm-hmm. But you now get a number. So it might come out, pop out and say you need 7.5 million of assets. So this could be in investment property. It could be in businesses. It could be like vending machines, ATMs. Do you know ATMs could be owned by individuals, vending machines? All of those things could be earning you money. Mm-hmm. But investing in the stock market to that value will then be able to earn you that income. Now you've got a plan. Now you know where your destination is. Whereas for most people, and I was in that place, was just, well, someday I might have enough. But sure, we don't know what enough is.
Yes.
So if we have, you know, if I said, let's go on a trip.
Yeah.
And you go, yay. Then one of the next questions you're going to go is, where do you want to go? We know that we have to know what our destination is to even have the next conversation, to have the next step. The same with financial freedom. We've got to know that destination. Mm-hmm. So then we can put the plan together, because then we can say, well, where are we currently? You know, maybe we're in debt. We've got some assets. Maybe we're just breaking even. Mm-hmm. But then we go, oh, cool. Now we know the destination and we know where we are. Mm-hmm. And then you put the plan together. And so that, once you know that, you're in the realms of 5% of the population knows what their freedom number is. And it's liberating because you know where you can get to it. The second big reason that most people don't is because of this belief that they need to earn more money. And that's the thing that just keeps us earning. But we've, you know, discussed a lot. So with those two things, when you shift your focus to knowing what your destination is and you shift your focus from trying to earn more income to instead, how do I create assets? Mm-hmm. Your path is a completely different one. And one is a path of just more of the same and staying in economic and financial prison. And the other is the path to freedom.
This is so amazing. This is so empowering. And,
cool.
And really, really, it's amazing because, I mean, I'm a person that is in the media and entertainment industry. And we you're familiar with the DJ called Black Coffee?
Yes.
Black Coffee is one of the DJs in South Africa that is paving a way.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
To go abroad, he's playing all over Europe.
Yeah.
He's going to Spain. He's going to Italy. Everywhere, and this is something that wasn't really prevalent in the South African setup.
No,
I mean, everybody that was in the entertainment saw themselves that when you make it in South Africa, that is it.
Yeah.
And now obviously with him being, you know, spreading his wings and going to these other European countries, he plays in Brazil, South America.
Oh.
He goes to Europe, he goes to Rome, he goes to Italy, he goes to Spain. And you find that the level of lifestyle, how it transformed. And, you know, for me as an individual, I look at that and then I assess, because some of the videos that they post on Instagram, you find that they are in an area either in Spain at the beach close to the ocean, and you find that people are parking their boats, and boats to them are like cars, you know. And I know that it's something that a lot of the people in South Africa would dream to have a boat and all of these nice things. And there are people, I'm not saying there isn't, but a very small minority. But what I'm saying is it's things that you dream about, but for them it's normal. But then how do you then make yourself catch up to that level, which is very possible? And it's not something that is impossible.
Yeah.
And again, I find it as an inspiration because he's managed to get himself to another level where, I mean, a DJing career was something that people looked down upon.
That's it.
And now he's able to really delve to the another level of economy, and he's able to upskill and upgrade his level of lifestyle in South Africa. Why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning it in a sense that it's all about thinking big.
Yes.
And believing that you can get there. Because again, it doesn't mean that if you're in South Africa and you want to, you know, achieve financial freedom, you're only thinking about earning your money only in rands.
Well, this is it. So many people think that we were restricted geographically.
Thank you.
And we're not. You know, and also it doesn't mean you have to move to a different country. So
true.
You can have this expansive base. And I think this is why it's so important we understand that actually only 20% of our wealth is created by a strategy or a tactic or the money management.
Yeah, yeah.
80% is about this.
100%.
It's focusing on how do I expand value, that. But really starting to come and with some deep compassion to ourselves, because we all have our stuff, you know, to go, what is it that I believe to be true that just ain't so? Where am I choosing to box myself in, or boxing myself in because of beliefs that I've taken on by my family, my society, my identity? And we have to really be prepared to go to some uncomfortable place and really challenge that, because often our identity is one of our biggest drivers, and we can tell these stories about ourselves as, you know, we're Africa or this, and you know, the truth is Africa's not broken. We're extraordinary. We've got the most unbelievable creativity. We are the most extraordinary energy and hub.
Yeah.
But we have to believe its value and worth, and stop trying to be a pastiche American or a this. No, but there is this side, but also just step by step. And so things like you talk about Black Coffee, he adds massive value, but he also comes from a deep energy of knowing that he's worthy. And there's a subtle difference. It's not about an arrogance. He's not trying to prove or get his validation. Mm-hmm. He's exploring the world, but also not apologetic. He's, true. I'm here.
Yep.
And of course, why wouldn't you love me? And of course I'm adding value. And you know what? If I'm not to your taste, go and get some white coffee, for God's sake. You know what I mean? But he's not taking it personally. And so this is where I also want to really encourage, because right now we're sitting with so many people say to me, and I, you know, the economy in South Africa, I can't get a job. And I'll go, well, have you gone online and even just gone onto like sites like Upwork or Fiverr? If you've got any kind of skill, are you putting it out there? You, the entire world is your market. Stop thinking of, you know, Josie or Soweto or even South Africa. Yeah. Think about
abroad.
That. But we have to keep challenging ourselves, because these beliefs are the things that keep us imprisoned. And you know, even when I started The World Chef, I really had to go through that whole, who am I? Why will people listen to me? Who am I? I'd created my financial freedom, but I used to build railways. Mm-hmm. You know, why would anybody listen to me? After all, there's already a whole lot of other people.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to go through what I really talk about. We have to all fight with our we're not enough monster. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough yet, and so I'll keep practicing, and I'll keep doing this, or I won't get out there, or we will talk ourselves down. So we'll talk ourselves down from believing that we can expand and have all these things.
There's something that a friend of mine liked saying. He always said there's a lot of people that suffer from analysis paralysis, where you know what you got to do, but you stare at it, you figure out the problem, but you don't take the steps to actually do it.
And you keep walking around
and around.
And you
keep walking around and around.
And this is where, and a lot of analysis paralysis, I believe, comes from that feeling, what I said, the not enough. I don't have enough information. I'm not good enough yet. I need more. I've got to study more. I've got to do more. But it's deep fear of making a mistake. And this is, I think, one of the biggest things that all of us have to work on, and just deeply accept we're going to fail.
Yeah.
We're going to fail. We're going to make a mistake. You know, there's that lovely Michael Jordan, you know, the basketball player, and he goes, I failed over and over and over, and that's why I succeed. And I think whether it's everything in life, if we've got to be prepared to let move up, you know, and you use that word humble, but I think the more we can just separate our ego and our identity from when we're trying new things and realizing failing, making a mistake, falling down, getting it wrong, doesn't make us failures. It actually makes us winners, because we're doing something. And we only learn by doing. And when we find ourselves stuck in that not taking action and that analysis paralysis, really go in, and if we dig down, there's some belief, or there's a fear of rejection. There's a fear of getting it wrong, fear of being ridiculed. And we realize the greatest thing we should fear is never actually being able to live our lives fully.
All right, like I always say, that is important. Actually, we're actually at the end of the show. We can
go on and on. How did time that happen?
Time has just flown so quickly. But one thing that I always say, that is important, that as a person, you upskill yourself. You teach yourself, and you are aware of things that are happening around you. And it's things like seminars, it's things like workshops, it's things like a lot of them that are around us. We always ask questions, but they are at our disposal.
Yeah.
I'm very aware that there's going to be a seminar that's happening next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And many people might have heard of Robert Kiyosaki, the author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. That, for me, was one of the first books that I started my wealth journey that helped me really understand about assets. Mm. And so he is going to be out in South Africa, and there's a group of amazing speakers, including me, yes, hell yeah, at a Business Investor Summit. And we're going to be teaching about assets, investing, how to also create second jobs, incomes, businesses online, things from everything from investing in the stock market to cryptocurrency. So I'll be speaking, 28th and 29th of July at the Sandton Convention Center. And people can get their tickets at the Business Investor Summit ZA. .com, and they can use /Ann or just go .com, Business Investor Summit ZA. And it would just be so awesome to see them there and really come and immerse yourself, learn about, expand the you, the greatest asset you have.
And thank you so much for coming through. I really enjoyed being with you on the show. It's really been empowering, something that is very unique. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
All right, cool. So this is Smoke Quizzy closing off on cliffcentral.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can catch the podcast on www.cliffcentral.com, or you can also catch us on social media. It's at Cliff Central. You can also follow me at Smoke Quizzy on Instagram and Twitter. And on Facebook, it's DJ Smoke Quizzy. You can follow me right there on the platforms. Thank you so much, so, so much. We're going to catch you again next week. Same time, same place. Goodbye.
This is cliffcentral.com.